Well, good evening, everyone. If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 84. And if you'd like to have your yellow sheet ready, there's some verses alongside Psalm 84 that we'll be using tonight. Every time the hymn sing is up here, I'm going to be doing a series called Great Themes of the Faith. And that's really out of the hymn book. Last time we did Assurance and Trust. And this time tonight, what the hymn book calls Aspiration, a longing for God. The theme tonight is a longing for God. Let's talk to our Savior. Loving Lord Jesus, we do long for you. And Lord Jesus, we should long for you more. You should be the absolute desire, passion, of our whole lives. And we pray that tonight as we listen to Psalm 84, that you might speak to each heart and life. We're ready to sing more. We're ready to praise you. But speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt desperate? I was reading about a young man in England who was beginning as a surfer. He'd only been surfing for a few days, but this one afternoon he decided to go for one last surf. And he went out. He found the conditions much more dangerous and difficult than he expected, and so he decided to head back into shore. But too late. He says, a great grey wave sucked me toward it and then dumped me, churning me around, so I didn't know which way was up. And I was gasping for air. I was desperate for air. I was churned around, and finally the current released its grip on me, and I went up, gulped in air, only for the next wave to land on top of me, and for the process to be repeated again and again, until I was battered and winded and getting more and more desperate for air. I swallowed water, trying not to breathe, trying to wave to the people on shore. Another wave washed him closer to shore. He was able to stand, gasping for air, and an hour with oxygen in the ambulance was needed before he started to feel right. I wonder if we put ourselves in his shoes, what would it feel like to be desperate for air, just longing for that next breath? Your whole being, your thoughts are focused on one thing. Air, I've got to get air. What a relief to be able to get the air that was needed. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's good to long for God. It's good to be thirsty for a relationship with the Lord, to pant, to gasp for the living God. For then it is promised we will be satisfied. In fact, we ought to desire God with all our hearts and with all our strength. Amen. Certainly the heroes of the faith were desperate for the Lord, like a drowning man is desperate for air. Amongst the heroes of faith were the sons of Korah. These men were singers in the temple, and it was their glad duty to be able to praise God. It was their privilege. And when these men were not able to be in the temple, they kind of went into withdrawal symptoms in their desire to praise God. Well, one of these sons of Korah lays claim to Psalm 84. He wrote and sang it with a guitar-like instrument called a gittith. The title of the psalm says, to the chief musician on an instrument of Geth, that is the gittith, the psalm of the sons of Korah. In this psalm, there are two thoughts that express our relationship with God. The first thought in Psalm 84 expressing relationship with God is intimacy. This son of Korah expresses his longing for intimacy with God and the blessing of intimacy with God. Oh, how he longs to be close to God. Verse 1 says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. The temple is lovely because for the same reason that heaven is lovely, because the Lord is there. God himself is there. The Lamb is there. All that fills our heart with joy and peace and awe is there. In one sense, God is ever present. As David said in Psalm 139 and verse 7, Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? In one sense, God is present everywhere, omnipresent. But in another sense, God's presence was concentrated, if I can use that word, in the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10 says, "And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud, that's the cloud of the glory of God, filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." To worship at the temple was to be in the presence of God in a very special sense. We're always in the presence of God, but to worship there was to be in the presence of God in a special sense. Of course, in New Testament times, we have a greater privilege. We can worship whenever and wherever we like. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." No, not in a particular place. For verse 24 says, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Nevertheless, God can be worshipped wherever we are. Nevertheless, God is particularly present. God is particularly present when the saints gather to worship, like we are gathered together tonight. Matthew 18 and verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." As if the presence of God was particularly concentrated. This son of Korah longed for those times of worship, to be able to sing to God, to be able to pray to God, to be able to hear the word of God. All these because these helped him to draw close to God. Verse 2 says, "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord." The word longs means pines after, like a lovesick young maiden pining for her fiancé. She's almost faint with longing for him. The word faints is a synonym, very close. Similarly means to be consumed to the point of collapse. One modern songwriter in the song he wrote said that he was desperate for God. That's the idea here. Just like that man, desperate for air. Nor can this longing be contained. That longing for God has to be expressed. Verse 2 continues, "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." It's not just the temple. It's not just the courts of the Lord. It's the living God himself the son of Korah has in view here. Heart and flesh refers to the whole man. The whole man desperately longs for intimacy with God. Sadly, some business, some circumstance, and it could well be war. There's a few other verses in this psalm that indicate it could be war. Some circumstance prevents him from getting to the temple. So even the sparrows and the swallows have an advantage over him. They have an opportunity that he doesn't have in being able to go into the courts of the Lord. Verse 3 says, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Oh, to be there in the temple, like the birds are able to be free to go into the temple, he longed to be there to worship the Lord. I can remember when I was single, everyone seemed better off than me. The birds were paired off. The animals had their mates. Everyone seemed to be driving around as couples or walking around as couples. I felt like the only one left out. That's how it is with this son of Korah in terms of his intimacy with God. Even the birds had the privilege of being around the altar, being in the temple, and he wanted to be there to worship God. Then in verse 4 he sums up, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they shall be praising you." Sure, he had a longing for intimacy, and he clearly saw that place of intimacy where he could draw close to God was such a place of great blessing. "Blessed are those who long for intimacy, for they shall abide in the Lord." If we long, have that longing, we will abide with him. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3 says, By this we know that we abide in him, dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. It is through the Spirit of God that we have this sweet intimacy, this sweet fellowship, precious fellowship with God. Of course, those who experience the blessing of intimacy are going to be those that are foremost with praise to God too. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." There is a continuous idea to this. Whilst the dwelling with God will continue, then the praise also is going to continue. What a blessing to dwell with God forever. That's our hope, brother and sister. Revelation 21 and verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." We're going to be with him forever. "And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." At a ladies' Bible study, one mum was saying that she had difficulty in praying to God. She saw God as awesome and great, and the one who created this universe, and how could this great God be concerned with her petty little needs? During that morning, her son got his finger caught jammed in a door, and she took special time, even though she was busy for the ladies, she took special time out, of course, to comfort him. Certainly God is not too busy for us. He created us to have a relationship with him, to have that God-shaped vacuum in our hearts. And he wants us to come to him. He's looking for us to come to him. And we should want to go to him. He's not too busy for us. We can go to him anytime, anywhere. The problem with us is that we try to satisfy that inner longing with substitutes, don't we? We get distracted. Like the hymn says, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I sighed for rest and happiness. I yearned for them, not thee. But while I passed my Saviour by, his love laid hold on me. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they flared and mocked me as I wailed. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown." Such is the blessing of intimacy. God satisfies our hearts. The second thought in Psalm 84 expressing relationship with God is enabling. This son of Korah similarly relates his longing to be enabled by God and the blessing of being enabled by God. This time he begins with the blessing of enabling. Verse 5. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you." No man is strong enough to live the Christian life of himself. Blessed is the man who finds his strength and his enabling in the Lord. That man does not depend on himself. His dependency is on the living God. Out of his relationship with God flows that strength to live each day. Intimacy with God and dependency on God, that strength in God, go together because they're both related to relationship with God. The man who depends on God is on a life journey of growth. The second part of verse 5 says, "whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Now, it surprises me how even unsaved folk understand what you mean if you talk about a spiritual pilgrimage. You might say to an unsaved person, "Where are you in your spiritual pilgrimage?" And they might say, "Oh, I'm a Buddhist," or "I don't believe there is a God," or some other thing. But they seem to understand this phrase, spiritual pilgrimage. Whilst there were three pilgrimages for the Israelites up to Jerusalem each year to meet with God, we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're all on a spiritual pilgrimage. We could tell you something of, each of us could stand here and say something of our life journey in our relationship with God. Our heart is set on approaching God. Or it should be, shouldn't it? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 is probably, possibly my life verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That is our pilgrimage, to get to know God, to know him intimately. A man whose heart is set on God will have his strength in God, as verse 7 says of this psalm. They go from strength to strength. But before we get to verse 7, the psalmist has an example in verse 6. And they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Now, the valley of Baca can also be translated valley of weeping or valley of the balsam tree. I didn't say balsa, I said balsam tree. The balsam tree is a tree that grows in the desert. And so this valley of Baca is the hardest place of the journey. As we're journeying towards God, the valley of Baca are the difficult places, the dry places, and therefore it can also be called valley of weeping. So the valley of Baca refers to the dry and difficult places in our spiritual pilgrimage. But those who depend on God for strength have a different experience in the valley of Baca than those who don't depend on God for their strength. To them, the bad and the hardest becomes the good and the best. Let me read verses 6 and 7 again. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. They reach their destination of coming to know God. And the equivalent New Testament verse of those verses 6 and 7 is Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, it's in the hard times we grow, isn't it? From strength to strength and glory to glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. For the Christian, the desert places of life are a spring covered with pools of refreshing water, because God turns those tough times into times where he shapes us to be like the Lord Jesus. There is great blessing to have a relationship with God, great blessing to be enabled by God. And therefore, because the psalmist chorus sees this blessing, he longs to be strengthened by God. Verse 8. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And here comes the prayer in verse 9. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Now that verse is a little bit obscure when you first read it, but that word, our shield, refers to the king of the land. He was the shield that shielded the people from enemies as far as humanly is concerned. And look on the face of your anointed. Your anointed also refers to the king. So this is a prayer asking for God's strength for the king, because it is the king who guarded the temple, who shielded the temple, who made sure that there was a place of worship for him. And possibly this was a time of war when the psalmist was particularly asking God to be their shield, that the temple might be protected. It was a prayer of dependency. Now, even in the New Testament, praying for leadership like the king brings personal benefits. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So there's great benefits for us when we pray for leadership. And this psalmist here is praying for the king that he might protect the land. So the son of Korah depended on God for strength and protection of that place of worship. Verse 10 continues, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Korah's son continues his longing. He longs to be strengthened by God. He gladly forsakes all the world offers, a lifetime of ease and opulence, for a single day of fellowship with his God. Look at the blessings of looking to God as your strength there in verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and shield. Not only is the king a shield, but the Lord himself is a shield. God himself is our strength and protection, and he's our protection and provision because he's also the sun. And yet the Lord blesses the man, the dependent man, even further. Verse 11 goes on to say, the Lord will give grace and glory. Hasn't he given us grace upon grace? He's given us a certain degree of glory, and one day we will be glorified altogether. These are rich spiritual blessings in Christ, showered on the man who's depending upon God for his strength. And verse 11 ends, no good thing will he uphold from those who walk uprightly. Now that part of the verse you could hang on your wall. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. If in dependence you seek God's strength, then verse 5 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. And verse 11 says, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Do you know what a bop is? Probably you're not a bird watcher as I am, but if you're a bird watcher, you would know what a bop is. It stands for bird of prey. And the largest bop in Australia is the wedge-tailed eagle. I've watched a pair of wedge-tailed eagles circle around not far overhead, and they just get higher and higher till they're just a pinpoint in the sky. That power to be able to soar is a picture in the scriptures of strength, like in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's really the same concept of strength here in Psalm 84. The man who depends on God for enabling is going to soar like the eagle. God lifts and enables and strengthens. God protects and provides. God gives grace and glory. God withholds no good thing from those who love him. Blessed is the man who depends on God. Blessed in intimacy and blessed in enabling. Therefore, the psalmist concludes, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. For that man, even the valley of Baca is a valley of blessing. So, dear friend, long for God. Yearn for God, won't you? Verse 1, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. How desperate are you for the living God? For our lives depend on it, don't they? Just like that man who's drowning. When my boys, who have children of their own now, were boys in our home, we used to feed the kookaburras some meat, some cheese, and the kookaburras got to know us pretty well. They came to trust us, and one even came into our home one day because they trusted us. Hunger had become trust. That pretty well summarizes Psalm 84. Hunger will become trust. Longing is going to become blessing. Verse 2, my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Verse 7 tells the story of growing strength. They go from strength to strength. And finally, full trust in verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Therefore, since this is true, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We have a section in our hymn book called Aspiration. It starts at hymn 307 and goes right through to hymn 343. There's lots of lovely hymns there, that desire, that longing for God. Perhaps you'd like to use some of those in your meditations in seeking to long for God. Or perhaps we'd like to sing one of those now. Let's pray as we close. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we know that our preoccupation, our desires, our longing for you should be even more than what they are. But I bless you for each person that you've brought tonight. I believe they're here tonight because they do long for you. They long to sing your praises. And we're going to have joy in doing that again now. Bless you, Father, and continue to bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.